And a very good Friday morning, evening, afternoon. I don't know what the hell it is. Joe Beningo, the Ode of Pain podcast. It's Friday. It's April 26th. It is 2024. And the Joe Beningo, the Pain podcast brought to you by the Hackensack Brewing Company. Brought to you by Anita Discount Tire. Brought to you by our friends at DraftKings. Brought to you by Manscaped as well. Very busy Thursday night in the sports world. We'll get to the Knicks. We'll get to all that. Of course, the Rangers tonight, game three of their series against the Capitals, trying to go up 3-0. But we got to start with the NFL draft. Last night, and we'll start with the Jets. Jets who had the 10th pick in the first round. And actually what they did was they traded down a pick with the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota wanted to assure themselves that they would get the quarterback J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. So they flip-flop picks with the Jets. Jets wound up getting the 11th pick in the first round. Obviously, Minnesota got the 10th pick. The Jets also got a 4th and a 5th rounder from Minnesota and gave back the 6th round pick to the Vikings that they had gotten in the trade for Zach Wilson with the Denver Broncos. And with that pick, the Jets take Ole Fasanu, the All-American left tackle out of Penn State. And you know what? Look, you're a Jet fan. You know, maybe you wanted Brock Bowers, who wound up going a couple picks later. Of course, the tight end from Georgia, a couple picks later to the Raiders. But this was the pick for the Jets. I mean, we know they need help on the offensive line. And I think they probably would have took Roma Dunzu from Washington or one of the wide receivers, but they were gone. And he went in the 9th pick to the Chicago Bears. The Giants, of course, took Malik Nabers, the terrific wide receiver out of LSU, and ended all the speculation that they were going to draft J.J. McCarthy with that 6th pick. I'm sure the happiest guy in America right now is Daniel Jones, who knows he's got his who's going to be the quarterback next year for the Giants. But the Giants took Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU. Marvin Harrison, of course, went 4th overall to the Arizona Cardinals, the great wide receiver out of Ohio State. And, of course, the quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3. Caleb Williams went number 1 to the Bears. Daniels went number 2 to the Commanders. And the 3rd pick, Drake May, went to the New England Patriots. How about the fact, and we'll get to Fasano in a minute, but how about the fact that the Atlanta Falcons, who just traded for Kirk Cousins and gave him big money, how about the fact that, was it a trade or whatever? They got Kirk Cousins now as their quarterback. They pick with the 8th pick in the draft, they take Michael Penix, the quarterback out of Washington, which was really a big surprise. McCarthy, as I mentioned, winds up going 10 to the Vikings. Bo Nix went 1 pick after the Jets took Fasanu, the quarterback out of Oregon. Of course, he also played at Auburn. They took Bo Nix with the 12th pick, the Denver Broncos did. So he's going to probably be their starter. I wouldn't be too worried about Zach Wilson being the starter there. And you know, so that's how the quarter, how the early rounds broke, the early first round broke out in the draft. The first 14 picks in the draft, all offensive players. I don't think that's ever happened before. So very, very interesting how the draft played out last night. No doubt about it. But Fasano, you got to be happy with him. Look. The Jets had major problems last year on the offensive line. We all know that. One of the big reasons they collapsed, not just the injury to Rodgers, but because the offensive line, basically everybody and their brother, wound up getting hurt, of course, starting with Elijah Vera Tucker. So to me, this was the smart pick. You know, do I think they would have took a Dunzu if he was there? The wide receiver from Washington, maybe. But obviously, they couldn't pass up on this guy. And it's a smart pick. Look, the Jets, their 2 starting offensive tackles right now are Tyron Smith, of course, who's like 34, whatever he is, years old, coming off a year where he missed 4 games in Dallas. And on the other side is Morgan Moses, who had some injury issues last year with the Ravens as well. So, you know, he's not exactly young either. He's in his 30s. So the Jets had to address a young guy on the offensive line, and I think it's a great move. Look, I would have been happy with what they did with Fasanu. I would have been happy with a wide receiver. I would have been happy with Bowers. So I'm all good with this pick for the Jets. And any Jet fan out there that doesn't like this pick, you're out of your mind. I mean, with all the issues they had on the offensive line, This team's got this guy. Hopefully, you pray that he turns into. Look, we thought we might have had that guy with Mekhi Becton. It didn't work out. You hope that Fasanu turns out to be the Brickishaw Ferguson, who's the Jets' left tackle for the next 10 years and basically never misses a snap. That should only be. But he works in nicely here now with Smith. You got one. You got a potential, you know, very possibly future Hall of Fame left tackle in Tyron Smith, who can really help tutor this kid now, Fasanu. So, look, the Jets have to win this year. I would think Smith is going to start the season at left tackle, barring any injuries. But you know, and you know this, Jet fans, somebody's going down. And I said this before, with all the veteran guys that they brought in here, and I'm good with every one of them, right? Whether it's Tyron Smith, whether it's Morgan Moses, whether it's John Simpson, whether it's Mike Williams, whether it's Hassan Reddick, everybody they brought in, Tyrod Taylor to back up Rodgers, even Rodgers himself coming off the injury. Look, you know somebody is going to get banged up here in the preseason, you know? And I'm not even talking, forget about the games. I'm talking training camp. Well, I mean, but somebody's going to get hurt. It always happens. So, look, this was a tremendous pick for the Jets. This kid was, has in his career, I don't know how many years he played at Penn State. He only gave up one sack his entire career at Penn State. Last year, in 374 potential pass attempts, the guy gave up no sacks last year. So, look, he's 6'6", whatever he is, 312 pounds, which to me is kind of light, really. My wife's laughing, but 312 pounds for a tackle offensive lineman is kind of light. But I like the pick, and we'll see how it plays out. And hopefully, you know, you get a big year this year out of Tyron Smith. He's only signed for 1 year. And, you know, Fasano learns under him and then becomes our guy at the left tackle for, you know, the next how many years. So got to be happy with this pick as far as the Jets are concerned. No doubt about it. Any Jet fans got a problem with it, you're out of your mind. We'll see what the Jets do tonight. Second and third round tonight. They don't have a second round pick. We'll see what they do in the third round. There's talk about this kid, this wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. You know, not exactly a football powerhouse, but, you know, I forget the kid's name, but I've heard a lot about him. Maybe the Jets are going to take this guy. Maybe they'll move up into the second round to get him. Stay tuned. We'll see how it all plays out tonight. But Olu Fasanu, left tackle out of Penn State. He is the Jets' number one draft choice in the 2024 NFL draft. Before I get away from the draft and I get into the disaster of the Knicks last night, let's get into the Giants. And again, the Giants at six, there was a lot of talk about them taking J.J. McCarthy. He was there for them for the taking if they wanted him, but they couldn't pass up this kid Neighbors, the wide receiver out of LSU. The Giants haven't had a real number one wide receiver since they took Odell Beckham 10 years ago, also out of LSU in the first round. So Daniel Jones has himself a real weapon now, wide receiver. And God knows the Giants need it, especially with the departure of Saquon Barkley. So interesting night, round one at the draft. It was an interesting night for me because I was going back and forth. I'm watching the draft. You know, I'm watching the Knick game back and forth. Once the Jets picked, I cut out of the draft and watched the end of the Knick game. And, you know, look, what could you say about this game last night? I didn't expect them to win last night. You know, you knew there was going to be pushback by Philly in this series. You heard Embiid after game two say, you know, we're the better team. We're going to win this series. And look, he put 50 on him last night. I mean, you know, what can you say? Now, he could have easily been thrown out of this game. Early in the game, Mitchell Robinson is going up for a shot. And Embiid, who's actually on the floor, is pulling down on Robinson's leg. I mean, you could really hurt him. And Robinson did get hurt in this game. And I don't know if he's going to play on Sunday in game four. And that's a big hit for the Knicks, because as good as Isaiah Hartenstein has played, he can't play Embiid defensively the way Robinson can play him. So that's a big hit if he goes out, if he can't play here. And look, I mean, I think Embiid, my wife is going to, you know, always say stuff like that. You're right about that, though. He is a dirty player. I mean, I'm sorry. Embiid, right, my wife says a sneaky, dirty player, and I agree. He is a dirty player. And if that, and if that was Hartenstein or Robinson in a reverse situation doing to Embiid what Embiid did to Robinson, he would have got thrown out of the game. It's not even debatable. But because it's Embiid, he's a superstar. He did get a flagrant, but it was only a flagrant one. You know, he didn't get chucked out of the game. And, of course, he goes for 50. He couldn't miss a shot, especially in the third quarter. I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, he made everything. Three-pointer. And he went to the foul line. And I thought it was interesting. Tom Thibodeau brought it up after the game. You know, Jalen Brunson, who gets knocked down all over the place and actually had his best game. It's interesting. Brunson has his best game of the series last night. He goes for 39 points, 13 assists, and the Knicks lose. You know? Because they didn't really get it from anybody else last night. DiVincenzo last night was a complete no-show. You got a little bit from OG Anunoby. You didn't get much from any of the other guys. Bogdanovich or Miles McBride, Deuce McBride didn't give him much in his game last night. Josh Hart had a quiet game, you know. They need everybody else, and they didn't get it from everybody else last night, even though they got it from Brunson. Look, Brunson went to the foul line, I think, 12 times last night, but he gets knocked down all over the place, and as Thibodeau brought it up, it wasn't until late in the game when it looked like Philly was already in control and going to win that they started calling fouls and putting Brunson on the line. And Embiid last night, 21 free throws. 21! And I thought Thibodeau made a good point. You know, the same kind of foul that, you know, Embiid is getting from the Knicks, the touch foul he's getting, right? They're calling it on the Knicks. The touch foul, you know, not even a touch foul, you know, the maiming of Jalen Brunson is he gets knocked down constantly, and they don't call it. So, I'm telling you, I'm a little concerned about this series now. I think if you're a Knicks fan, you got to be a little worried about it, you know. Especially if Robinson's out, because they have no answers for Embiid. I mean, you know, and even Maxey, Tyrese Maxey, I don't know what the final number was from him last night. He scored about 25, you know, and he was doing his thing as well. But I don't know how to stop an Embiid. You know, Hartenstein can't play him. You know, Precious Achiuwa, who played last night and gave him some decent minutes, you know, there's only so much he can do defensively against Embiid. Now, maybe you could try to put Anunoby on him, but, I mean, you know, Anunoby's given up like 5-6 inches to him. What is he, 6'7", Anunoby? I mean, maybe you could do something like that. But I'm a little worried. I think if you're a Knicks fan, you've got to be a little worried about this. And I think they really got to come out smoking tomorrow and find a way to get this game 4-1 in Philadelphia and come back to game 5 at the Garden, which I guess would be Tuesday, and wrap the series up. I think it's imperative they win this game 4. I thought they'd lose yesterday. I didn't think they were going to sweep Philadelphia in this series. I don't think anybody really thought that at all, you know. But I do think that they need to win tomorrow. And look, it was fine that Brunson scored 39. They need everybody else to contribute, and they didn't get that last night. And they were getting that in the first two games. They were getting a lot of help from from all different places in the first two games of this series that they didn't get last night. Like I said, DiVincenzo was invisible last night. You know, Josh Hart, who was magnificent in the first two games of the series, very quiet last night. Anunoby hit some shots. He had a couple big threes late in the game to kind of make it close. But, you know, they need everybody. They need McBride. They need Bogdanovich. Hopefully Mitchell Robinson can play. They need Hartenstein. They need everybody to come up big. Anunoby, of course. They need everybody to come up big, not just Brunson in game 4. And I think it's a big game for the Knicks. And I think if they don't win game 4, you're looking at a 7-game, a blood and guts, drag them out, hold your breath, get out the Valium 7-game series if they don't win tomorrow. So I think it is a game 4 tomorrow to me is huge for the Knicks. It really is. Look, I'm not going to say that if they lose tomorrow that they're going to lose the series. I won't say that. But you got to – your level of concern will really go up tomorrow if they don't find a way to win this win game 4 tomorrow against Philadelphia. And we could only hope that this series now – or excuse me, that the officiating in this series now, you know, maybe they call some more fouls on Joel Embiid, or maybe they don't call as many – you know, don't give him as many calls as he got last night. Embiid became the third player in history to score 50 points or more in a playoff game against the Knicks. Sam Jones did it from the Celtics back in 1967. He had 51. I remember that well when they lost that series to Boston. Sam Jones had 51 in one of those games. Remember that 51 Jones had? There was no three-point shots either. So that was in 1967. Michael Jordan in the Memorial Day Massacre that I will never forget in the Eastern Conference Finals in 1993 against the Bulls had 54, if you remember that game. I still got stomach aches from that. And now the 50 by Embiid. So Sam Jones, 1967, Jordan in 93, and now Embiid in 2024. The three opponents to score 50 points or more in a game against the Knicks in the playoffs. And again, a very critical, as far as I'm concerned, game four tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock in Philly, Knicks and Sixers, with the Knicks holding that 2-1 lead as I drink a little Poland Springs. Indeed. All right, let's get the sponsors in here. We start off, of course, with the Hackensack Brewing Company. A number of people have asked me about when the next live podcast is going to be. I can't give you an answer. Maybe sometime next month. Got to talk to the boss. The boss has to talk to the Mike Jones and company at the brewing company. We'll let you know when the next one will be. You know the deal. 10 minutes off the George Washington Bridge, less than 30 seconds off of a Route 4 and beautiful. Who needs a house out in Hackensack, New Jersey? The tap room's open 4:30 to 10 Monday through Friday, 2 to 10 Saturday, 12 to 8 Sunday. Check out my Ode to Pain beer when you're there. All the different packaging of it. You got the jet packaging, the Met packaging, you got the Nick packaging, and I believe TJ's working on the Ranger packaging as we speak. Check it out. Tap room's open 4:30 to 10 Monday through Friday, 2 to 10 Saturday, 12 to 8 Sunday, 78 Johnson Avenue. Beautiful Hackensack, New Jersey. It really is not so beautiful. And we will let you know when the next live podcast will be. I need a discount tire. You need work done on your car. You need tires for your car. You need your car inspected. Whatever you need, go check them out in Rivervale, New Jersey on Westwood Avenue. See my son Johnny. See his boss Harry. See the whole crew over there. One of their outstanding mechanics and Rob. See everybody over at the Anita Discount Tire. Tell them I sent you. They'll take care of you. Whatever your needs are automotively, Anita Discount Tire in Rivervale, New Jersey on Westwood Avenue is the place to go. Now, DraftKings, if you're going to bet on anything, and God knows there's a lot of things to bet on right now. You got the Stanley Cup playoffs going on right now. By the way, the Islanders last night losing to Carolina 3-2. They're at the UBS Arena on the island. They're down 3-0 now. Does not look good for the New York Islanders as Carolina now 1 win away from sweeping them. Also with the hockey last night, let me just point out that the Florida Panthers also are up 3-0 on the hated Tampa Bay Lightning. So look, I know Florida, if the Rangers do play them eventually, will not be easy, but get the freaking Lightning the hell out of the playoffs. So they're down 3-0. Hopefully Florida can wrap it up. Anyway, you're going to bet on anything? You got to go DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the code OTHEPAIN. New customers, and a lot of pain if you're an Islander fan. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Check it out. Use that code OTHEPAIN. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net in New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. The only way to go, DraftKings. And, of course, our newest sponsor, our buddies at Manscaped. You know, I've been telling you about the 5.0 lawnmower, right, that I use to, you know, trim the family jewels and get the at least the illusion of a couple extra inches on the schlons, right? Right? At least the illusion of that. You know what I mean? So this is the way to go. But you know what else? Not just, you know, to trim the family jewels and to look, you know, magnificent down her. I mean, down there. I mean, you know, you want to look good for her, right? You know the deal. Anyway, They also have underwear. And I'll tell you, I've been wearing the Manscaped underwear. They're great. They almost look a little bit like boxing trunks. Now, they're not as baggy and big as boxing trunks, but they, you know, they got the Manscaped logo, you know, their insignia there on the top of the underwear. Very, very nice. I was actually considering doing a little modeling of the underwear, and my wife shot that down quickly. I can tell you right now. You know, maybe if I was a little younger, you know, if I was like in my 30s or 40s, you know, maybe I consider it. Now, I will say this. For a guy that's 70 years old, right? It's hard to believe I'm 70, but I am. Yeah, not too bad, you know? Now I got scars all over my body from the crummy skin I have, but nevertheless, not bad for a 70-year-old dude. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. And I don't even use any supplements like that guy on TV, Elmer Heinrich, who's 90 years old and, you know, still hits a golf ball 350.
Yeah, right.
Right, exactly. Anyway, but check out Manscaped. Really, I'm telling you guys, use that 5.0 lawnmower ultra. It is absolutely fabulous. You want to look good, you want to be trim, you know, and you want to look like you got a couple extra inches. And check out the underwear as well. The only way to go, Manscaped. All right, Beningo, the Ode to Pain podcast. Tonight, game 3, Rangers Capitals in Washington. Rangers need to close this series out, and they need to win tonight. I want to see a sweep. No nonsense. They got to approach, the Rangers need to approach these two games like they're game 6 and 7, and they're down 3-2. That's how they need to approach it. You can't, remember, they were in this position last year. They were up 2-0 over the Devils, winning the first two games on the road, and we all know how that series played out. What a disaster that turned out to be, as they wound up losing in 7. They lost the next 3 games, won game 6 at home, and then lost game, got killed in game 7 in Newark. They can't have any repeat of that. Now, look, the Rangers are a much better team than Washington. You know, Alex Ovechkin, you still think you might get something out of him, but he's looking a little old. There's no doubt about it. They've done a great job on him. One of the big plays in the victory the other night was the takeaway by Zibanejad. Took the puck right away from Ovechkin, and it set up that shorthanded goal. Zibanejad and Kreider playing tic-tac-toe with the pass, and eventually Zibanejad dropping it back to Keandre Miller, who put it in. At that point, it gave the Rangers a 4-2 lead with that shorthanded goal. They would hold on to win 4-3. That turned out to be the game-winning goal. They need to close this series out quickly. If this team is going to go on and win a Stanley Cup, and right now it looks like if the Rangers win this series, they're going to play the Carolina Hurricane in the second round with that 3-0 lead they have over the Islanders. You know, they're going to finish them off. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Maybe the Islanders will win one game. I don't know. But it's starting to look very much like Carolina's going to advance. And if the Rangers win, they'll be playing them in the next round. But they want to get to that game round quickly, especially if Carolina does sweep them. If Carolina does sweep the Islanders, all the more reason why, to me, it's imperative the Rangers sweep the Capitals and get out of this series as quickly as they possibly can. So tonight, 7 o'clock in Washington, game 3, Rangers Capitals, as the Rangers will try to take a 3-0 series lead. Now, one thing about game 2, the Capitals did get a couple power play goals in this game. The Rangers had some bad penalties. They had a too many men on the ice penalty that actually cost them that third goal. They also had one of those penalties where, I forget who it was, might have been Trouba, flipped the puck over the out of the arena, you know, over the boards. That's a penalty too. You can't get stupid penalties like that. So that bothered me a little bit that Washington got a couple power play goals. Now, they do have a pretty good power play. Now, the Rangers also got 2 power play goals as well, one by Zibanejad, who had a tremendous game, one by Jack Roslovic, which at the time gave him a 3-2 lead. And, of course, that shorthanded goal by Keandre Miller. You know, you got to like the Rangers when they're on, you know, any special team. So there's times I like the Rangers playing better when they're shorthanded than when they're even strength, to be honest with you. So very big game tonight. They really need to close this series out quickly, especially with Carolina on the verge of sweeping the Islanders. So we'll see what happens. Again, game 3 tonight in Washington, Rangers, Capitals, as they try to take a 3-0 lead in the best of 7 opening round series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. A couple other things about the playoffs. How about Miami beating the Celtics the other night to even that series one game apiece in Boston? I tell you, man, the Miami Heat, they're just something about them in the playoffs. Remember, they went to the finals last year. Remember, they beat Boston in the conference finals last year. Remember, they were up 3-0. Boston came back to tie it, and Miami won game 7 in Boston. Yeah, that's, they are a tough out. Even without Jimmy Butler, they're a tough out in the playoffs. So, you know, look, do as much damage as the Celtics as you can. I don't expect Miami to win this series, but maybe they can really extend the hated Celtics. But I just had to throw that in there. Before we go, let me just finish up with the baseball, with the Mets. Mets complete that 6-game road trip out in California and L.A. and San Francisco. They wind up going 3-3. They take 2 out of 3 in L.A. They lose 2 out of 3 in San Francisco, but they win the final game of the series, the Wednesday afternoon game. Francisco Lindor with 2 two-run home runs in that game. He had 4 hits as well. Looks like he's, you know, starting to get it rolling now. Right now, the Mets are 13-11. They're home now for their homestand. They play the Cardinals. They got 3 with the Cardinals over the weekend. You won't see it tonight because it's on Apple TV, but it doesn't really matter because I'll be watching the Rangers anyway. You know, I'm paying a little attention to the draft as well. But, you know, so it doesn't matter. If there's ever a night where the Mets don't need to be on television, this would be it. But they open a 3-game series against the Cardinals starting tonight, then 4 with the Cubs after that at home. So, but you got, look, if you're a Met fan, the Mets right now, 13-11. As I said, they go 3-3 in that West Coast trip. I think everybody would have signed for that. And everybody would sign for them being 2 games over .500 as we sit here now 24 games into the season, especially when they start 0-5. Especially when they start 0-5. So, you got to be happy if you're a Met fan. Who's pitching tonight? Jose Buto on the mound tonight against the Cardinals, who are under .500 right now. So we'll see, but got to be happy. You're a fan of the Mets, and the Mets are 13-11 after that 0-5 start, coming off that 3-3 road trip on the West Coast. You gotta be happy about it. All right, Beningo, the Oda Pain Podcast. Before I go, you know, with the dramatic win the Knicks had in Game 2 with the DiVincenzo jump, you know, 3-pointer that wound up winning the game and all, you know, it calls to mind to me, and I'm just going to run them by you fast, the 5 greatest Knicks playoff wins in my lifetime, all right? So I'm going to give them to you the way I see them, and I'm going to run through them fast because I don't have a lot of time. Number 5, Game 5, the final game, remember, was the best 3 out of 5 back in 1999. Game 5 between, in the first round, between the Knicks and the Heat in Miami, Allen Houston shot that won that game. Went up, went down, went up, and went in. And the Knicks wound up winning that game 5 and then went on to the NBA Finals where, of course, they eventually lost to San Antonio. That's number 5. Number 4, the Larry Johnson 4-point play in 99 as well against Indiana in the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 3. My wife and I were at that game. Who'll ever forget it? Probably as loud as the Garden has ever been. So the Larry Johnson 4-point shot to me is number 4. Number 3, Game 7, Eastern Conference Finals, 1994, Knicks Pacers. Probably the greatest game Patrick Ewing ever played, considering the circumstances. The Knicks win it in a gut grinder. Ewing goes with for 24 points and 22 rebounds. Remember the signature play of that series, that game that really won it for him. Starks going to the basket, missing that layup. And Ewing with the putback slam dunk that put the Knicks ahead, and they hung on. Reggie Miller missed at the end somehow, and the Knicks went on to win that. I was not quite married to my wife yet, and I could see myself hiding under the rug as that game was going on. Game 2, Game 7 in Boston, 1973, as they beat the Celtics 94-78. The Knicks became the first team ever to win a 7th game in Boston Garden. They were up 3-1 in that series. The series eventually got tied. They win that game and go on to win the NBA title. Dean Memminger had a massive game. And number 1 has to be Game 5 of the 1970 Finals, the game Willis Reed got hurt, and the Knicks came from 20 points down with Dave Stallworth and Dave DeBuscher and Bill Bradley covering Chamberlain to win that game and eventually would win game seven and win the championship. They don't win the championship without winning game five.